corporations plus at-large, and 5% went to the individual shareholders. So you get sort of the regional corporation giving some to village corporations, some to at-large, and some to shareholders. Okay? I'm gonna, in a minute, go through a mathematical example to show you how at-large shareholders and village corporations fit together, which is somewhat complicated. After, let's say, oh, I'm sorry, 10%. Thank you. It went to the lawyers. After the first 5 years, for the rest of it, 50% was kept by the regions, 50% went to village and at large, and there was no direct distribution to shareholders right from the fund. So, now what we have is basically, again, all this money was divided up depending on individuals. So a village corporation would get money depending on how big it was. So if half the money had to go out of the region, the village corporations at large, if you were a village that had 200 shareholders, you'd get twice as much as a village with 100 shareholders. Basically, what at-large shareholders got was their share of what the village corporation would have gotten if they had been enrolled in a village. And let me go through an example to show you what I mean. Let's say that in one year, the regional corporation receives from the native fund $5 million. Okay. The regional corporation would keep 2.5 million, and the other 2.5 million would go to villages and at large. Now, let's say, I'm using figures that make it easy for me to do the math, so let's say that in the region there were 1,000 people that were village corporation shareholders or at large shareholders. The village corporation plus at-large equals 1,000. Really, to figure out how this money was divided, wait a minute, take that back. Wrong number. 5,000. Yeah. Okay. To figure out how this was divided, you take this number, 5,000, and divide it into this to give you $2,500. So, what's even? $500. So, for each shareholder the village corporation has, the village corporation would receive $500. If you had 100 shareholders, you'd receive $50,000. Each at-large shareholder would get their share directly, or they'd get a check for $500. That's where the at-large.
$500 every year?
Well, for that year, I'm thinking 1 year. Now, that's all done now. There isn't any native fund money coming in. So all those checks have already been written. And of course, the difference is that now, with that, if you're like, those of you who are contribution shareholders got a dividend last year, but that large shareholders didn't get any dividend. Well, I got Nana's dividend, but they only got the one dividend because they don't have any other stock. Yeah, they only. You've got 100 shares in two things, they only have 100 shares in one thing. They got their money earlier. If the corporations in the long run are very profitable, it would be, and you'll get more money later on than they got in the beginning. So, anyway.
answer the question.
And that's pretty much it. The money was, I think it all been dispersed by 1982. Corporations have either invested it, spent it, lost it, made more money. Depends on the corporation. That's money. Any questions?
How much did Nana at large shareholders get so far? I mean, like one person.
Well,
over the years.
About 12,000. Slightly more than about 6,000.
For sure. And
if they can be, I mean, if they're up here, they're involved in Nana. I mean, really, the only difference is they aren't in two corporations. I mean, there is much a part of Nana. They don't have a village corporation, and of course, in many regions, the villages are the ones that oversee a lot of the use of the land, and the region oversees economic development. We combine that in Nana.
So, at North Shore, we have Common stock is tested, right?
Well, they're both common stock. We had to have two classes because they're different types of things, and I have to go back and look at the bylaws.
How many
there are, I think, somebody asked that this morning, there are around 300, I think, in Nana, which is less than 10%.
Most of them are.
I think most of them are probably in Anchorage, Seattle, and outside. I think there are some people, but I think they're very few. There are mostly people that were living outside the region that wanted to enroll back here but didn't choose to enroll to a village.
Any other questions on money?
Hard time paying for lunch?
You're gifted.
They got a big chunk right at the end. We got that $300 million. I think they got about $2,100 at the end, and the rest of it's spread over that 10 years.
Just for information, is there a list of shareholders? One for shareholders, 200 shares, one for.
Well, on our rolls, it shows how many shares. We, I think on the computer, I'm not sure on the computer whether we can just have the computer print a list of that large, but we could go through and identify each one that large. They have a different number. There's different numbers in the system. So there's different numbers for each village, there's different numbers that are large. So we can identify them.
Can the shareholders at large switch over to clothing?
Not now, not after enrollment, although depending on what happens in 1991, they could buy into the building. And we were talking about merger. We were talking about maybe merging them and giving them an extra 100 shares of stock and not having them get their payment. So we decided that was much too complicated.
So how does that relate to the money relate to large shareholders? The money does that relate to the board of directors at large?
They're totally different. Or at large building. When the act was passed, it said we think at the time we think there may be some people who don't enroll to a village. If they don't enroll in the village, we give them money. If they roll in the village, instead of giving the person the money, we give it to the village corporation. They got sort of the village corporation share. That would have gone for them.
Taxes.
We talked last night that one of the other issues that related to 1991, other than sale of stock, is the fact that when the Land Claims Act was passed in 1971, it said that all land, all undeveloped land, is untaxable until 1991. So that if a native corporation owned undeveloped land, nobody could tax it. The reason for this is that undeveloped land, of course, produces no revenue. And Congress saw that, you know, if the state wanted to be sort of nasty about it, they could have come in, put a tax on undeveloped land. Native corporations either would have had to pay all the money they got from the government to the state, or they would have lost their land. There was nowhere to tolerate that. On the other hand, they said, well, if the native corporations develop their land, then they may be getting money for them to back into that was the theory. So the protection is, first of all, for undeveloped land. Most native land, 99% of it is, but native corporations get a chunk of the undeveloped land. Now, what happened was that when we were dealing with Anelka? You wanted to hear Anelka? When we were dealing with Anelka, one of the things we said to Congress, we said, look, you gave us this sort of free period from 1971 to 1991 where our undeveloped land would be taxed. And here it is already 1976 and 77, and only a few million acres have even been given to the natives. That's no protection. I mean, we don't have a land. It could be taxed anyway. So they said, well, you're right. And the state said, well, yeah, the natives are right, and the federal government is there. So what they've done now is said that the tax starts 20 years from the date that you get your land. So for instance, the Kivalea conveyance, I think, will take place sometime next week or something, or let's say sometime this month. So we'll have 20 years from September of 1983, or until the year 2003, where nobody can come in and tax undeveloped land for Kivalina. We have other land that we got earlier that would be eligible for taxation earlier. We have some other land we've yet to get and not be taxed later. So it's all based on when you get your land. So you get sort of 20 years. But we said that's all well and good, and that helped, but still, most of the land that's been chosen is around villages. And most of that land has been chosen not because people want to develop it, but because people want to live off of it. And if people are going to live off of it, you can't tax it, because they don't have any money to pay the taxes. The land won't be making money. So what we did is said, there should be a way that if people don't want to develop their land, if they want to leave it undeveloped, that it will be protected. And so we developed, we said, why don't we have what came to be known as the land bank? And basically, the idea behind the land bank is that native corporations can put their money into the land bank, and if it goes in, then it's protected from three things, again, assuming it remains undeveloped. One, it cannot be taxed, or protected from taxes. now I gotta remember the three things. It's protected from court taking. Let's say for bankruptcy, and it's protected from adverse possession. I spelled it right. Well, yeah, that's here. Let me explain these three things. Taxes is pretty self-explanatory. If the land's in the land bank, people cannot come in and tax it, so you can't lose it for taxes. Also, if it's in the land bank, and let's say we're, rather than being Nana, let's say we're Chivac Village Corporation out in, around Bethlehem. And we got into the construction business, and all of a sudden we lost all of our money. Well, if the land was in the land bank, the court couldn't take the land to pay off the creditors. They could take anything else, they couldn't take the land. And you can't pledge your land either, though, once it's in there. You can't use it for collateral if it's in the land bank. But the banks can't get it from you. So if you don't want to pledge it, you can't use it.
I mean, the land bank is an alternative, or is that?
It's an alternative. What?
Alternative for?
For any native corporation to put their land in, do what they want.
Oh, rather than
have it just sort of out. Right. I mean, if you're going to have undeveloped land, it makes sense to put it in the land bank. As a matter of fact, right now, under the law, when you get your land is automatically in the land bank for the first 3 years that you have it. Then you've got to go make an agreement with the federal government to put it in for longer periods.
Can you withdraw the land?
Let me get to that after I talk about the possession. The third thing that is protected from is something we call adverse possession, which is the same as squatter's rights. So somebody can't come in to a piece of land, put up a cabin and a house and say, okay, my house has been here 5 years, whatever long is, therefore the land is mine. You can't do that if it's in the land bank.
Does that
happen? Not to my knowledge. People have built illegally. So that I know has happened. Whether or not, I don't think any land's been transferred. But
you heard about that cabin was built in a school over area on top of the tree. Did they take, I wonder if they took that cabin away from it?
I don't know. Walter would probably know. The term of the bank works like this. When you first decide, say after your first 3 year period, when you decide you want to go for the land bank on your own, you put it in for 10 years. After that 10 years, you renew it, and you can renew it for 5 year periods or more, forever. Now, if you want to take it out, you can do one of two things. You can wait till the period's over, and then it comes out automatically and you don't have to renew it. Or, if it's in the middle of one of these periods, let's say it's in here, let's say you've gone 8 years, you can take it out. But, if you take it out, and that land would have been taxed, except for the fact that it was in the land bank, you owe the back taxes. So there's a little bit of penalty, but you can get it out. Now let's say we're in this period and we want to take it out. Let's say we're 3 years into this period, but we've had it in the land bank for 13 years, okay? Again, you can take it out, but you only pay 3 years back taxes, only back to right here. And then if you add another period here, you'd only pay if you took it out in the middle, you'd only pay it back to here. So your tax, you wouldn't have to pay, you know, tons and tons of years taxes. It breaks every 5 years.
Is that up to 1991?
No, that's law that can be done right now.
So you won't have to pay any taxes if you just keep it in the land bank?
That's right.
What happens if the land bank goes bankrupt?
The land bank can't go bankrupt. It's not a bank like you. But that's sort of a good question. It's a piece of congressional legislation. It's passed by Congress. Congress could repeal it.
When was it passed?
1980. It was part of Pinocchio.
Yeah. Clay can keep the land there.
So long as the land is undeveloped?
Right.
But it's a rest and...
Yeah, if it's developed?
Yeah.
If it's developed, then you have to take that.
What's the definition of developed?
Well, that's an interesting question. Cats of you is undeveloped land. Red Dog would be a piece of developed land.
So if you put a line or something here?
That would be developed.
It doesn't include the allotments and land or...
Well, of course, allotments aren't taxable right now because they're trust lands.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you have to worry about allotments, and yes, it does include regional. I think there would be an ability to put allotment land in here, but I'm not sure. I have to go back. But there's no need to do that now because allotments are protected from taxation. You can't tax them all.
Is the land bank mainly for regional corporations?
Regions and buildings. I think in
the protection
for native corporations.
And one of the important things about it, now this is a, you know, this is a very important change in the Settlement Act, and offers us a lot of protection we didn't have initially. And what that signifies is that the Native community has been able to work with Congress to make changes when they've identified problems. That's why I think we can resolve the other 1991 problem, which is shared. The Natives just have to agree on what they want. The Natives agreed that they wanted this. Congress agreed it was a good idea. Unless something better comes along.
Is that one of the alternatives, or is there then?
That's the alternative.
Well,
we've got the automatic. There's sort of double protection, at least from taxes. Now, because you've got the first 20 years that you get after your land, plus you're automatically in the land bank for 3 years. But the land bank, as I said, also protects you from two other things. Loss of your land to courts in a court action, and adverse possession. And the other protection, the 20-year protection, is just for taxes, personally. The land bank does all three things, so it's much better protection.
So, what were the alternatives for the
money?
The land was in the land.
What if you don't put your land in the land bank, then your land gets taxed?
It can be taxed, yeah. It might or might not be taxed. Right now, in this area, there's no way to tax most of it because it's not inside a borough. So, although, after 1991 or sometime, the state might decide to put on an undeveloped land tax. Or a land tax in rural Alaska where there was no borough, so the state could do it.
Once it's developed, it's going to lose the tax exemption, and it probably loses its land bank status. No, if you take it out, but I think you could do something. Well, let's say we wanted to run a 500-acre gardening project. Sort of a commercial gardening project to grow. We could take that land out, work on it for 5 years. If we decided the garden project was no good, we could sort of seed things over, close it down, the land could go back in the land.
So excluding the allotments and all the rest of the land is in the bank?
Could be in the bank.
Oh, could be in the bank.
Yeah, if it's not developed. Once you develop the land, then it has to come out. I mean, it's largely to protect undeveloped land. That's what we're worried about, because undeveloped land doesn't give you any money. If you don't have any money, you can't pay the taxes.
And so would the villages fall under this undeveloped
land? Yeah. Well, the village corporation.
Would these changes have to be approved by shareholders, or would they have to be an administrative decision?
Well, no, this
It depends on the corporation, but there is no requirement that the shareholders vote to put it in. The administration can do that. I think in Nana's case, we certainly discussed that on a village-by-village basis as to whether or not they want it in. But there's no requirement.
What would
be
qualified to
their
land then?
Pretty much the native corporation.
What about the individuals who say about their land?
The allotments? Okay, the allotments are not taxable anywhere because they're trust land. So you don't have to worry.
So Rick, mine would be taxed. How much are, like, what is that tax? How much is it?
Well, if taxes on Red Dog, if Pameco owned the building, all the buildings, and the road and the port and everything, it could be $5 to $7 million a year. That's something Pameco would have to have. Well, the expenses of running our operation are from Mako. We share it afterwards, and we get a percent of the profit. Mako is largely owned by the Canadian Pacific Railroad. They're the biggest shareholder. They own about 40%. Nana owns part, a little bit of Mako, but it's a stock. It's a Canadian company. One of the things theoretically we put in the agreement with Pameco is that they cannot finance stock after 1991. we can buy theirs, they can't buy ours. There are a couple of exceptions to that. They could buy it if our board of directors allowed somebody else to buy it, like Exxon, or if people became aware that somebody was out trying to buy up now. Pameco could go in and try to protect themselves from getting any part of it. But otherwise, they can't just, they're prohibited from buying our stock.
Do you think Doyle has all the money reserved? Would they be able to buy one of the
corporations? You mean another corporation? I don't know.
You know how much, or is there an exact number of how much money they're going to do?
Yeah, you just look at their annual. They got about $20 million. I think we'll have a price. And, if you want to talk about them buying control of Nana, they're using it. I need a calculator. It looks real nice. I'll do it on the race. I'll tell you how much they used up all their money. How about it? They would be paying me very much, but they might be paying a couple $100 per share, which would give you $10,000 or $20,000. They might be able to put in. It's not really Doyon you need to worry about. They could buy out some buildings. I mean, if you really only need. Actually, my theory is one of the problems. Legally, to take control of a corporation, you need 66 2/3% of the stock. And once you've got that, you're considered in control, and the other people have to cash their shares in if you want to, but you've got it. In terms of voting, of course, 51% usually would give you control. But my theory is, if you knew what you were doing, you could probably get control of a native corporation by buying somewhere between 10 and 15% of the stock. Because the fact that you'd vote that in a block, you probably could find some other people to vote for the same people you wanted voted for. And right now, each year we only get about 50% of the people that either show up at the meeting or send in their proxy. So you don't need very much to control that process. 10 or 15% is probably over, if you're willing to deal with it over a period of time, 2 or 3 years, to get control of your board. Once you got control of the board, you got control of what the corporation does.
Regional corporations are not allowed to merge with other regional corporations?
Well, that's an interesting question. The answer is, like other questions, yes and no. When the Common Act was passed, Congress said there could be at least 7, but no more than 12, regional corporations. And that if regional corporations, once they set up, wanted to merge, they had a year to merge. Well, 12 were set up and none merged. However, there were 2 cases where regions, prior to that deadline being passed, notified the Secretary of Interior of their intent to merge, even though they've never done anything about it. 2 of them were Otna and Shugash. They're the 2 smallest regions. Otna is right around up here in the Glen Allen, Copper River area. They've got about 1,000 shareholders. Shugash is in this little area around Prince William Sound. Around here, they got about 2,000 shareholders. So they said they might want to merge. Also, Kodiak, Bristol Bay is in this area, and the alleys notified. Now, they've never done anything about merging. The rest of us couldn't merge. When we passed the merger legislation to allow villages to merge, either among themselves or within regions, there was some talk about allowing regions to merge, but Congress didn't do anything about it. After 1991, clearly you could, because you could buy them both off and do it that way. But right now, the answer is mostly no, you can't.
Right now,
1991. Mm-hmm. Assuming the stock goes wild. Actually, if you wanted to merge, I mean, if you really wanted to merge, you probably could put the deal together and go to Congress and ask them to approve it. And I'm sure Congress would probably approve it, assuming the vast majority of the shareholders are the 2 regions or whatever. Anything else on taxes?
These individuals have to pay taxes?
Depends on what they have. If you have a house here in Coxview and they put a property tax on it, yes you would. Depending on what the property tax is. Like the North Slope Borough has a limitation, so your house has to be worth over $100,000 or something before you have to pay taxes. I don't know. It would be like in Anchorage, taxes on an annual basis in the house of $100,000 run about $700 or $800 a year.
In 1991,
when there was
shares up for sale,
would
be taxed on a share?
You can't be taxed on your shares for owning them. If you sell, you could be taxed for the profit. And how you figure the profit, I'm not going to get into it, but it's very complicated. That's something else that we will probably try to deal with.
Do you have anything to say about different ways to change things?
I've heard it, yes.
Could you disprove that you would actually like the truth?
Well, I would rather disprove the other, but I think that's unlikely. So taxes are not inevitable. There are lots of people that don't pay taxes. And of course, in our country, some of the people that don't pay taxes are from the very richest people. And then they devise ways to protect their money so they don't have to pay taxes. So that's not a crusade. Lots of people have disproved it before. But yes, that's what I'm trying to do.
Is money the main goal of all these corporations? Besides, they have all these $1 million.
No, there was... Well, the main purpose of the act was one thing. And that's what we went through all this. And the reason for protecting land is protecting culture. The culture is based on land. That people took the land away, it would be pretty hard to protect the values that John talked about last night. That's what the act is about. Money is, well, I've had a couple people tell me that they felt that if the Native corporations misspent all of their money and still retain their land and use the income that will come off the land in the future, they'd still be very, very well off. Why don't we take a 10-minute break or so, and then we'll come back and do 7I, which I think is the last thing I promised. And then we can ask questions if you guys get hard or whatever you want.
Anybody else want a copy of
on the couch.
have a tea leaf left over, Doc. Can I say something?
Sure.
I brought up that resolution that, or did I even mention it? There's a resolution passed by IRA to the AFN as a means of dealing with the 1991 problem. I just wanted to show you this resolution.
Oh, yeah.
No.
For me?
Yeah.